for Edwin Ride. The Story of Cunea and LaRue. The Cunea python woman came from far away in the east to hatch her children at Uluru. She carried her eggs strung around her neck like a necklace and brought them to rest at Cunea Piti on Uluru's northeast corner. There she left the eggs on the ground. Cunea camped at Tapuchi and hunted in the nearby sandhills. As she left and entered her camp, she formed deep grooves in the rock. These grooves are still there. One day, Cunea had to draw on all her physical and magical powers to avenge the death of her young nephew, also a Cunea. He had enraged a group of Liru, or poisonous brown snakes, who travelled from the southwest to take revenge on him. They saw him resting at the base of Uluru and rushed upon him, hurling their spears. Many spears hit the rock face with such force that they pierced it, leaving a series of round holes that are still obvious. The poor Cunea, outnumbered, dodged what he could, but eventually fell dead. When news of the young python's death reached his aunt on the other side of Uluru, she was overcome with grief and anger. She raced along the curves of the rock to Mutajulu Waterhole, where she confronted one of the Liru warriors, who mocked her grief and rage. Cunea began a dance of immense power and magic. As she moved toward the Liru warrior, she scooped up sand and rubbed it over her body. Her rage was so great that it spread like a poison, saturating the area at that time. In a fearsome dance, she took up her wana, or digging stick, and struck the head of the Liru. But her anger was now beyond restraint, and she hit him again across the head. He fell dead, dropping his shield near Mutajulu Waterhole, where Cunea herself remains as a sinuous black line on the eastern wall. The blows she struck are two deep cracks on the western wall, and the Liru's shield, now a large boulder, lies where it fell. Part 1. The Dead Heart. A traveller may now describe Central Australia as a heartbreaking wilderness. J.W. Gregory, The Dead Heart of Australia, 1906. 1. Yokanunna. In November 2019, I visited the South Australian Museum in Adelaide to see if a certain man's skull was among the collection of human remains held in the museum's keeping place. A number of archival collections had been checked, and a forensic anthropologist was attempting to match the man's skull with the unprovenanced remains thought most likely to belong to him. He had been murdered in 1934, but the forensic anthropologist could only positively identify the skull. Museum officials Anna Russo and Professor John Carty and I decided that we would travel together to Uluru, formerly known as Ayers Rock, a huge, iconic monolith, more or less in the centre of Australia, that is home to the Aboriginal people, the Anangu. There, we would inform Sammy Wilson, chair of three community organisations, Mutajulu Community Aboriginal Corporation, Uluru Katachuta Board of Management, and the Central Land Council, that the Indigenous person whose skull this was had been identified. He was, in fact, the granduncle of Sammy Wilson. His name was Yokanunna. Before we headed for Uluru, Anna and I drove to the large factory-like building in a nearby Adelaide suburb where the museum houses the human remains in its collection. Years of chasing down the events surrounding Yokanunna's killing at Uluru in Central Australia had led me to this nondescript repository of horrors. We entered a vast space with little natural light and walked through several rooms, signing in as we moved from one area to the next. When we reached the room where Yokanunna's skull was stored, I noticed a number of wooden boxes stacked in the corner, draped in the Aboriginal flag. The provenance of these human remains had been established, and now they were waiting to be collected by elders and returned to country. Nearby, medium-sized cardboard boxes containing Aboriginal remains that were moved from the University of Adelaide in 2017 were stored on four shelves.